Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am your fearless leader, and I'm going to guide you through just the world of sports for the last week. Welcome to The Balance, the one place where you, the fan, can call home 917-889-8516. Well, it's no secret. Everybody knows what this weekend is. If you don't, there's something seriously wrong with you. It is race weekend here in Indianapolis. It is the Indianapolis 500, the 98th running of said race out at 16th in Georgetown. And I'm telling you, we have been leading up to it, talking about it. Well, it's time to stop talking about it. And it is time to start racing. So we're going to break down all 33 cars, myself and Kevin Chapman, redneck from Philly. Also, Kevin and I spent some time at the Coke lot this week, and we had a chance to come out and talk with some minions, and really kind of a neat time that we had out there. So we'll have that all for the show for you. And later on today, we have not forgot about the other big event surrounding Indianapolis sports, and that's the Indiana Pacers. That's right, Pacers, Heat, Miami. So we're going to be talking to Ken Sterling about that from 1070 The Fan. But, you know, it's race weekend. Race weekend, all 33 cars ready to go. Who's going to be the first out? Who's going to lead the most laps? Who's going to win? We're gonna get to the answer of all of that. We're gonna before the end of this show, we will have talked about every single driver, so that you know who they are. Of course, you know Ed Carpenter's on the pole, and we're gonna be talking about every single driver and their team and little storylines behind them. And you know what? We're going to get some input. So Kevin Chapman's going to be joining us, and here in just a few moments, the redneck from Philly. I'm excited, though. This is like a holiday. This is like, a lot of you don't know this, but this is like a national holiday here in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis 500. And it is incredible. Thousands of people are in town and just camping out there at the Speedway. You know, they're waiting for a race. It's going to be a good show. We're going to see some really good racing tomorrow out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I myself cannot wait. I am stoked. So we're going to be talking about every one of those cars, and we're going to get you ready for race weekend. We're going to talk with you about some things you might need to know. And of course, we'll talk a little bit maybe about the night before the 500 out at Lucas Oil Raceway. Also, the night before the 500 out at Anderson Raceway. So we'll be talking about, it's racing. It's race weekend. We're talking about racing, and you're on The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back right after this with 33 cars, our Indy 500 special. Can you believe that it's here? We'll be right back.
Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Indy 500 special. It is race weekend. It is the Indianapolis 500. It is the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500. You know what? We're standing by for Kevin Chapman. Not sure exactly where he's at, but we'll give him a few more minutes before we sad sack him. And we're going to do it in royal fashion. Believe me, sad sack. All right. Let's get this underway. As you know, it's the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500. You know, row one, who they are. You know, the pole setter is. So we're going to get to all of we're going to get to those drivers, but like, as promised, we're going to break down all 33 cars. You're going to go into the track tomorrow knowing and understanding everything that you could possibly understand about your driver. So let's start out. Driver introductions begin now. Number 91 in we're going to start in row 11. Number 91, Buddy Lazier. Buddy. Now, a lot of you race fans know Buddy Lazier. He's no stranger to the Indianapolis 500. Obviously, he's a former winner of the Indianapolis 500, and really exciting time that he's on. He comes to us from Colorado. Average speed 227.920. He's driving the number 91 car, Chevy. It's the light blue and white car, and he's with his own team, Lazier Partners. Racing, Bobby Lazier. And as we go on up, we look at the pole setter from the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, and we also know that he was involved in a crazy pileup at the start of the race. We're speaking of the number 17, Sebastian Saavedra, in the AFS car. Sebastian Saavedra, very good driver, very, very talented driver, average speed 228.088, driving the number 17 car. Colors, it's the yellow and red cars, the KVABS Racing team. All right, now in row 11, finishing out row 11, Sage Karm, average speed 228.436, driving the number 2 Chevy in neon yellow, bright yellow. Looks like a highlighter got in a fight on his race car, Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. What a story, and what a great time it is to have him run with the Sam Schmidt. I tell you what, did you see that? You may have saw the piece that ABC did about Sam Schmidt and him being able to get out there and drive. And as a lot of you may know, Sam Schmidt was hurt and became a quadriplegic in a testing in Orlando. I think it was in 1999 or 2000. And you've definitely seen him at the track. He's certainly the one in the wheelchair in the pits, and the only one who he's the team owner out there in the pits, but just did a magnificent job on just finding young talent and bringing them to the Indianapolis 500. And this is no different with number 22, Sage Karam. He's a rookie, comes out of Pennsylvania. You know, he missed, I'm not kidding you, it's a true story, he missed his prom for qualifying at the Indianapolis 500. Well, you know, well, I think his prom date would understand. And, you know, funny story, out at the track are the enforcement people, the yellow, as we like to call them, the yellow shirts. And as I like to call this guy here, the redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Man, I was about ready to sad sack you, brother. You were that close. You were that close to being sad sack. Saturday morning, man. Tell you what, and we're gonna play the interviews a little bit later on. But you and I had a good time out at the Coke lot of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Thursday. Great times out there, huh?
Oh man, the Coke lot is an amazing time. Of course, right. You know what happened this morning was right next to where we were doing our interviews.
Wow, I did not know that.
Literally.
Out by camp, we'll get into this in the interview. But you and I had an opportunity to hang out at Camp Redneck. I'd love to go out there tonight, the night before the 500. That would be a pate. But wow, that's nuts. I did not know that.
Yeah.
And what we're speaking of, those that don't know, here in the local market, there was a shooting, and I believe the person died, but out there at the Coke lot, after an argument ensued, they weren't part of Camp Redneck, were they?
No, it was right next to it, but no, they were not part of Camp Redneck. So all of our friends are safe.
All of our friends out of Camp Redneck, and we had a good time out there, and we really did, and so we caught up with some of our minions and hung out with them out at Camp Redneck at the Coke lot just outside the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Thursday. And I said Thursday, that's right, the party started on Thursday. It's going strong now. Let me tell you that. And the night before the racing at the Coke lot, that's the place to be. Well, we've just broke down row 11, Kevin, with the Indianapolis 500, Buddy Lazier in the number 91 car, Sebastian Saavedra in the number 17 car, and rookie Sage Karam in the number 22 car. We move on up to the next row, row 10. Row 10, Ryan Briscoe in the number 30 car, average speed 228.713 in his Chevy, blue and white, red. And, of course, he's with Team Chip Ganassi, Ryan Briscoe. You know, he picked up some pretty good speeds, you know, and so we'll see how it goes. Number 29, average Martin Plowman, average speed 228.814, driving the Honda blue, red, and white. He's with ABC Supply, of course, owned by the legendary A.J. Foyt and A.J. Foyt Racing. Number 28, James Davison, average speed 228.865. Driving the number 33 Chevy, colors teal, white, black, teal, white, and black. And he's also with KV Racing Technology. As we move on up here to row number 9, Jacques Villeneuve, average speed 228.949, driving the number 5 Honda, colors yellow. Of course, another Schmidt Peterson Motorsports team. Charlie Kimball in the number 26 car, certainly great driver, very very talented driver. Average speed 228.953, driving the 83 Chevy, and his colors are blue and orange. And certainly he also drives for diabetes. And Kevin, you may not know this, he is the only Indy 500 driver who to have ever started and currently races that has diabetes.
He is a diabetic.
Also, the number 25 car, no stranger to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Townsend Bell, average speed 229.009, and the number 6 Chevy, colors black. And he's also with KB Racing Technology. You know, Kevin, talk a little bit about Charlie Kimball. He's getting married in September, around September 16th. And I think maybe I talked with you about this, but our good friend Hinch, James Hinchcliffe. By the way, I had an opportunity to try Hinch's beer, Hinchtown, yesterday. Pretty good beer. Kind of tastes like Molson.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
He's a Canadian, right? That was a Canadian joke. But anyway, so our good friend James Hinchcliffe is going to be officiating that ceremony. And much like on the episode of Friends, when Joey became an ordained minister, James Hinchcliffe became a ordained minister. And he's going to be officiating his teammate Charlie Kimball's wedding. So there you go. You see, you hang with me, kid. Stick with me, kid, and the knowledge will come out of you. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Certainly, the 98th running of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The track has been around for 100 years, a staple here in the city of Indianapolis. Kevin, talk with us a little bit about the Indianapolis 500 to you. Now, I know that you moved here a few years ago, as we affectionately call you, the Red Neck from Philly. Talk with us a little bit about, though, your experiences and memories with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Well, you know, when I was stationed out in Virginia and come up here, I was able to go one time with my dad and my mom when I was up visiting. It is one of those tracks that I relate it to some of the baseball stadiums like Chicago. Wrinkly Field for baseball. That's just, whether you're into baseball or not, everybody needs to go there for history. And the IMS to me is the same way. You know as well as I do, Tom, I'm not a huge open wheel fan compared to NASCAR, but just the history and knowing the names that have been through the track and everything that has happened there, it's one of those places that if you are anywhere near Indianapolis, you really need to go. The museum is amazing to see all the different cars that have won there between open wheel and NASCAR. It is a good time when you're down there.
Well, and I tell you what, and I my grandparents lived their whole life, of course, as we know here recently, I lost my grandmother, but my grandmother and my grandfather lived off a girls' school in Rockville, and I remember as a kid that we could hear the cars out there racing, and we had some opportunities to go out there. Really, you know, I grew up in Evansville, so, you know, it was really kind of a neat experience there. We always thought it was cool to hear the cars go around the track out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And you know what? Good memories, good fond memories. So today's the parade. Get out there to the parade downtown Indianapolis. I would say you need to be headed that way here pretty soon because unless you don't mind looking over somebody's head. You know, I usually go out there every year, but this year it wasn't time and all kinds of stuff going on. So I'm going to actually have to miss the parade this year, but that's okay. You know, there's other parades that I've been going for many, many years. Good time out at the Indianapolis Motors, downtown, the 500 Festival Parade today. So go out there, have a good time. Yeah, all 33 drivers will be out there. Of course, bands and floats and probably some of the best. This really outside of the 4th of July parade, I believe, in Philadelphia in the Macy's Day Parade on Thanksgiving. This is the largest parade inside the United States. Beat out by the Rose Bowl Parade. But it's up there. It's the big deal. And I think it's actually going to be on ESPN2 or ESPN3. And also here locally, it will be on later on today. All right. Well, let's go on into row number 9. Oh, we just did row number 9. Sorry.
Yep.
Should check myself. Let's go into row number 8. And row number 8 is exciting. I like row number 8. One, because it is a spot where winners have came from. And a lot of winners have been able to get out of that middle of that pack and make it. And be on the podium. And certainly all three of those drivers that sit in row 8 right now have that. They're veterans, they're not rookies, and they know what they're doing, and they know it, and they've all had great runs here at the Indianapolis Speedway. There's a former pole setter in that group as well. So we start with Alex Tagliani, Tagman. He is first year with Sarah Fisher Racing, 229.148, driving the 68 engine Honda, black and white team. Of course, Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing, number 23, Tomoko Soto. Speed 229.201, number 14 engine Honda in red, blue, and white in the ABC Supply AGA Foyt Enterprises. You know, I cover a lot of IndyCar, and I've been going down to the track for, you know, long time doing media stuff. And, you know, and no matter what race I cover, Tomoko Soto has a fleet of Japanese reporters that fly over from Japan, and they follow him everywhere. I would say it's about as big, Kevin, as the White House press corps.
So, oh yeah, I mean, and you're right. It doesn't matter where the race is. For in Japan, he's an idol when it comes to racing. I mean, they are everywhere. He can't breathe without seeing them.
Oh, absolutely, and he is an icon in Japan, and a sports hero. A lot, you know, we have a lot of them here, but certainly Tomoko Soto. Pippa Man, I like this story. Fun story, number 22, Pippa Man. I like Pippa Man as a driver. I like her as a person. I've talked with her many times. Back in the Indy Lights, and she was certainly in the class there with Indy Lights with James Hinchcliffe. Certainly I've talked to her a good number of years. And the fun story about those guys from that class is it was also about the same time that we were getting started out as well. So we've kind of grown up with them. And so that class, I've always had an opportunity to talk with and just really get to know. And it's been fun talking with Peppa Mann. Of course, now she's a full-time analyst for the MRN Motorsports Radio Network. But at the same time, she's getting in a race car. She's racing the number 63 car. Average speed 229.223, driving the Honda pink and white, and of course Dale Coyne Racing, DCR Racing. She's driving the Susan B. G. Coleman Race for the Cura car, and you could go on there and to race with PippaPan.com or race with Pippa.com. Just Google that, and you'll find it. And there's a slot there where you can click, and you can donate so much money per lap that she turns at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, going all the way back from qualifications all the way to however many laps that she, and we hope she does well in tomorrow in the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500. So a good story there, and a good row 8. And, you know, certainly if Pippa can pull out a top 10 or a top 5 finish. We might see that DCR has a ride for her in more races. But for the moment, this is going to be a one-shot, one deal for her, and good opportunity for her to get out there and really show her stuff again, Kevin.
Well, and it is a good story. And that's one of the things I like about this year's race. There's, like you said, the young kid misses prom. They actually had a prom there for him.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Flew in. The race team did a little prom. They had the crown on their heads and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, and that's part of, the thing about the Indy 500. There's so many stories behind this race that I don't think in open wheel or NASCAR, there's just not any of the stories behind it and the outside things of racing. This is where all that happens.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so many storylines. We can't cover them all. But I'm really excited for Pippa, man. I hope she does well. And certainly not only for herself and her career, but the money that she's raising for Susan G. Coleman. What a great organization that is. All right. We move on out to another. We move into row number 7. We're going to talk about rookie Carlos Hirtos. He's a rookie, number 18 car as well, average speed 229.251, driving the 18 Honda car in the blue and white in the DCR Racing, of course, teammate of Pippa Mann. Going in the number 20 slot there, Graham Rahal, average speed 229.628. Driving the number 15 Honda, navy blue and red team, in the Rahal Letterman team, also National Guard car, as we would like to call it. And Graham Rahal is also the beau of Courtney Force, and they are quite the item. And John Force actually was on our show, of course, a legendary driver when the NHRA circuit, was on our show a few weeks ago, and he was talking about the relationship with Graham and how pretty cool it is that and you know, certainly Graham Rahal comes from a pedigree of racing just like his girlfriend Courtney Force does. So it's good to see that these legendary drivers, Kevin, are passing their legacy down to their children. And obviously, Graham Rahal, the son of a very famous legend out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Bobby Rahal.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how long that lineage can go. Unfortunately, NASCAR lost that. But the one thing about open wheel is that there is the lineage of family going down. And I think it's cool that you see that.
You know, and I do want to interrupt this real quick. We were talking a little bit about the shooting out at the Coke lot. It looks like a victim of shooting of Coke lot early this morning has been identified, and a suspect is in custody. So good to know they caught the man already. And, I don't get that. And Kevin, we're going to digress here just for a minute. I don't understand how and why when you get it's an unfortunate thing that happened. That doesn't happen every year, but invariably every year out of the track and out of the sporting events, you hear about fans that maybe consumed a little bit too much alcohol, couldn't keep their temperature, well, that too, keep their tempers in check, and things just seem to get out of hand. Why do race fans, we'll say race fans because that's what we're talking about right now, but we'll say sports fans in general. Kevin, in your opinion, why do they get so stupid when they get in masses?
You know, I would love to know that. And as you know, being the redneck from Philly, I should know very well about that with Veterans Stadium. But you know, I have not figured that out. Just walking around the track yesterday, down for carb day and everything, you know, you could tell, as you said, as the day went on, it just got worse. And tonight's just going to be cap it all off. But you know, I don't know if it's the I don't even say the love of racing, because I can honestly say I think a lot of people, the Coke lot especially, probably 25% actually go to the race. The rest all just stay in the Coke lot. So I don't know what what causes people to, for lack of better terms, get that stupid?
They get a case of stupidity, and I know alcohol has something to do with it, but I don't get it. So, fans, when you get out there and you're having a good time and, you know, somebody honks you off, well, just walk away. It is not worth all of this drama that goes on at some of these sporting events. So, you know, walk away. Come on. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Come on, brother. Walk away.
Come on, brother. Come on. Walk away, man. All right, so Indianapolis 500, the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500. We're just a few short years away from the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. How cool is that? Also in row number 8, on the inside of row number 8, number 28, Ryan Hunter-Reay in the DHL car. I like Ryan Hunter-Reay. Again, there's a good pack for you in row 7 there. Average speed 229.719, driving the number 28 Honda in the yellow and red, and he's with Andretti Motorsports. All right, row number 6, got some really good drivers inside that row in row number 6. Starting out in the outside number 16 car, we've got Oriel Servia. There's a driver we didn't know was actually going to have a car this year. So good to see him out there. 229.952 in the number 16 Honda. And of course, and Ray Hall and Letterman racing as well. Sebastian Bourdais, 229.847 in the number 11 Chevy black and white KVSH racing. Also, in the inside row of number 10, TK, Tony Kanaan. I like Tony, man. Greg, just a fan favorite out of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And certainly glad to see him win his first Indianapolis 500. We hope as many. And how cool is that? He was good friends with Dario Franchitti. Of course, Dario Franchitti was in a terrible wreck accident, you know, and just a scary wreck. And in fact, we didn't know what we didn't know at that point. It was really scary, especially not too long after the passing of Dan Weldon. So, you know, Dario Franchitti going to be driving the pace car. Kevin, you think he's going to, when it's time for him to go off the track, you think he's going to go off or you're going to stay on?
He's going to go off, but you could tell just during the interview that he doesn't want to go off the track.
Oh, heck no. Well, who would, right? He would.
Exactly.
And it was kind of cool, though, hearing him on the TV broadcast as far as as they went around, they could talk. He was talking about little bumps in the track and so forth. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. I digress. Row number 6. Okay. Gotta get my rows. All right, row number 5, starting on the outside, number 7, another rookie from Russia. Really like this kid, and I've talked about it in the track reports, and I've talked about it here on The Balance. I like this kid. He showed some good speed. And I tell you what, I would not be surprised if number 7, Mikhail Alshin, there's another way to say that, which is probably the right way, but from Russia, and I do believe he's the first Russian entry into the Indianapolis 500. Certainly, he's the only Russian this year. 230.049, driving the number 7 Honda. Honda, blue, red, and white team. Of course, another product of Sam Schmidt Motorsports. I said this earlier. I'll say this again about this kid. Sam Schmidt has the unique knack and ability to really find diamonds in the rough, really find these young drivers and these up-and-coming drivers, give them a shot to do well here at the Indianapolis 500, and they do well. They do well. So Mikhail Alshin, starting in the outside of row number 5 there, in the number 7 car. Next, Justin Wilson. I like him a lot. He's to me, he is your stereotypic British gentleman. Just nice to talk to, fun to talk to. In fact, could probably I've seen him many years out at the night before the 500 out at Lucas Raceway, so he'll probably be out there. You can't miss him. Tall guy, great guy to talk to, a lot of fun. And he deserves a break out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Average speed, 230.256. Driving the number 19 Honda Collars, red, white, and light blue. And he's certainly another teammate of Pippa Mann in the DCR Delcoin Racing Team. Jack Hawksworth, another rookie doing a great job out there, and certainly wrecked during practice last week, but just an overall good driver. Certainly a lot of people like him as well have the possibility of being the rookie of the year. But a lot of people, believe it or not, Kevin, and we'll get into his car here in just a moment, but he comes from your line of racing, and that's Kurt Busch from the NASCAR series, and he had a pretty nasty wreck, so we'll get into that when we get to his car. But a lot of people think between him and Kurt Busch, Jack Hawksworth and Kurt Busch will be the rookie of the year. It's kind of ironically saying that Kurt Busch will be the rookie of the year. But since he's not a rookie, but he is a rookie in IndyCar. Jack Hawksworth, speed 230.506, driving the 98 Honda black and green, and he's with Brian Herta Auto Sports. Kevin, I'll tell you what, we've made it through five rows. And we're all the way up to the number 13 car. We're doing it. We're about halfway through. We're about halfway through of our 33 cars. It is exciting. It is the 98th running of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Kevin, this is the 500 special. It does not get any better than this. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back. 33 car special right around the corner.
I'm a real fast talking jukebox, solving troubles when I'm always in. I like going fast and living for that past, and that's the way I've always been. I'm a hot rod running.
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-through that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
right, minions, welcome back to The Balance. It is our 500 special, 33 cars, and we're breaking down all 33 cars of the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500. And joining me also is that redneck from Philly. All right, Kevin Chapman and the redneck from Philly, are you ready to dive into row number four?
Let's dive.
Now, you know, I purposely wanted to move this conversation after the break because we were talking about Kurt Busch being the rookie of the year, possibly being the rookie of the year, I should say. That's not beneficial, but a lot of people like him. Certainly, he did a speed of 230.782 in the number 26 Honda, black and gray car in Andretti Motorsports, Andretti Autosports. Kind of a nasty, scary wreck out at Turn 2 earlier this week in practice. And that was the practice right after qualification. Really messed the car up good. Talk with us, I wanted to talk with you, Kevin, about Kurt Busch, because NASCAR is kind of your thing, and he's coming over from NASCAR. He's doing the double. He's actually leaving the Indianapolis 500. Going to get him in a helicopter and shoot him over to Charlotte. He's going to get another race car and run another race. So remember the Coca-Cola 400 out there in Charlotte, and he's going to run the Indianapolis 500. So if you put the math together, the last I checked, that's 900 miles in just a few short period of time. Incredible. Talk with us about Kurt Busch doing the double, and what are your thoughts about him in the IndyCar?
Well, as far as a double, and I forget, it was a couple months ago, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody talked about how race car drivers aren't athletes, because they're talking about Jimmy Johnson, one of the NASCAR drivers, being ranked as one of the best athletes. And I had to laugh about it, because if you think that just anybody could hop in and ride 500 miles around the IMS and then go down and do 400 more at the Coke lot, at the Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola 600.
600, you know, I'm sorry, I said 400,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, 600. If that's not somebody that's athletic, I don't know what else to describe that. But, I'm not a big Kurt Busch fan, but I've got to say, I'm impressed. I did not expect him to come down here busting out speeds of 230 and doing as well as he has. The only question I have is, I know it's different cars, I know it's different styles, but do you think his NASCAR time at the IMS has helped at all?
Well, I don't know. I mean, and it's certainly two completely different race cars, two completely different types of setups. I think, you know, maybe the feel of it, but I don't know. I don't know how that would work. Certainly, we've seen other NASCAR drivers do that. I think there was a time a lot of people were talking about Danica Patrick doing that, but I don't know that it's actually I don't know. It's two different cars, two different fields. It's the same track, same turns. Maybe from that aspect, knowing the feel of the track may have helped him. But it certainly didn't help him too much when he hit turn in the wall of turn two this week.
Well, I don't think anything was going to help that.
You know, Kurt Busch is one of those guys, either you love or you hate him. Certainly, he's been very boisterous, we'll say, over in the NASCAR circuit, but he's been pretty quiet over here in IndyCar. I think they told him, just keep your mouth shut and get in the car and drive, huh?
I think it's what they had to do, because now, I will say you didn't want to car, though. Kyle Busch's younger brother is still an idiot. But even in NASCAR, Kurt Busch, I don't know. He ran into some sponsorship problems because of his mouth, and ever since then, I could say, even in NASCAR, Kurt Busch has actually quietly done well.
Yeah, and he's kind of been underneath the radar, and you know, he's doing the double. That's a huge, huge news story. A lot of people are following that, but he's just kind of been relatively quiet out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You know, in a lot of ways, acting like a rookie should act, and that's just, you know, let's learn the track, let's learn what's going on. In a lot of ways, acting like a rookie. out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. All right, in the number 11 car in the middle of row four, Scott Dixon, fan favorite out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's certainly always been right there with Dario Franchitti and others. Always just been right there when it comes to the end of the race. Scott Dixon is going to be there, and he's going to be a competitor, and he is tough. And I would not want to be that car trying to get around him, especially if it's going from the checkered at the 98th running of the Indy 500. Average speed 230.928, and he's in the Chevy team Chip Ganassi team car, the other target car out there. Number two, here's another NASCAR guy for you to talk about, as long as we can keep him away from the blow dryers. Row number four on the inside, number two, one Pablo Montoya, 231. Speeds are getting up there, 231.007. Certainly in the red and white Team Verizon, Team Penske car. Juan Pablo Montoya, another NASCAR guy for you there, Kevin. Of course, left IndyCar, went to NASCAR, back to IndyCar. But what are your thoughts about Juan Pablo Montoya?
He'll do well. He always does here. NASCAR was not his thing. He was an average driver in NASCAR, but he was never up near the top. So I'm glad he came back to open wheel. This is where he's really good at. And it's good to see that he's back and succeeding.
Well, and we'll see how he does out here. I mean, he certainly had some great speeds, and it's interesting to see him in the car, out at IndyCar, racing the Indianapolis 500. So obviously he's kind of made a good name, and certainly has been able to hit some good speeds. He's certainly in the pack with some very, very good drivers there. Row four is probably one of the best pack full of experienced drivers that we have in the race as far as in one actual row. So we move over to row number three, J.R. Hillebrand in the number nine car out in the outside, number 21 car, I'm sorry, number nine position, speed 228.726. And he's in the Chevy white and blue, and he's owned by one Ed Carpenter. The other car for Ed Carpenter. Last year, Ed Carpenter had one car in the race. This year, he's got two, and he sits on the pole. We're certainly going to be talking about his boss, Ed Carpenter and Loca Boy. Joseph Newgarden, I like this kid. He's really, over the last couple years, has learned the ropes of IndyCar, has been very, very competitive. He's been in the mix of some controversial calls and some controversial wins. Joseph Newgarden likes this track. He's owned by Sarah Fisher, who knows this track. A very successful race car driver, very successful owner. Joseph Newgarden is the driver to watch in this race, and I certainly would not be surprised if he does not have a podium finish. 229.893, driving the Honda black and white neon yellow, and he's with Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing. And then in the inside of row number three, the number 34 car, Carlos Munoz of Andretti Auto Sports HBM Racing, 230.146, driving the Honda white and light green. White and light green. We're getting closer. We're getting closer to 33 cars. We're getting closer to row number one. Kevin Chapman, can you feel the energy? Can you feel it? Can you feel the excitement?
Oh, anytime you talk about the Indy 500, there's excitement. But especially when you get closer to that first row, that's where it starts building up.
And we are getting closer and closer to the first row. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. And if you want to join the conversation, if you want to join the conversation about – okay, well, I just heard something in my ears that that's not what – but anyway, okay, so if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 917-889-8516. We're counting down. We're having a good time right here on The Balance. This is 33 Cars. We'll be right back right after this.
Yeah.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. This is our Indy 500 special. Joining us also is Mr. Kevin Chapman, that redneck from Philly. All right, Kevin, you can't stay with us much longer. I got to bail, huh?
Yeah, I am one of those that is going down to the race, and I have to go pick up three other people going with me. So, not the race. What am I thinking? See, we're talking about the cars, and I'm already on tomorrow race day. Parade.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah, the race isn't till tomorrow.
Yeah, no, so we see what happens. The excitement builds about talking about the rows, and this is what happens to me.
That's what happens. Well, here we go. Well, Kevin, you know what? We're just kidding. We're going to do the best of the best coming up here in row 3, 2, and 1. So you're going to miss out. But, you know, after that, we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to play those tape interviews that we did out at the Coke Lot. So that's all coming up.
Well, I'll be there tonight.
All right.
After
check them out.
I'll be over there.
Camp Redneck,
Camp Redneck.
Right? All right,
yes,
buddy.
Come on to Camp Redneck. Look for Redneck from Philly.
All right. The Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. All right. We're moving into row number 3. J.R. Hillebrand and Joseph Newgarden and Carlos Munoz. Row number 2. It comes with another fan favorite, Marco Andretti of the Andretti legacy and family. And, you know, it's kind of weird not seeing him in the RC car, huh? Speed 230.544, driving in the Honda yellow and blue Andretti Autosports Snapple car. And row number 2, middle, number 77, Simon Patajon. Can you say Ricky Bobby for me? I've always wanted him to say that. Say Ricky Bobby. Ricky Bobby. Obviously the winner of the Grand Prix of Indianapolis in the number 77 car, Lucas Oil Racing car. Speed 230.614, the number 77. Honda, white, light, blue, black. Again, another product of Sam Schmidt Motorsports. If you haven't got the theme here, if you're a racer, you want to race for Sam Schmidt. You want to be on his team. All right, on the inside of row number 2, the one, the only, Elio Castaneves, bringing back that yellow submarine, the car that Rick Mears raced in, the car that Rick Mears made a legend, the Pennzoil car, average speed 230.649. Of course, the yellow submarine. You can't miss him. He'll be out there on the inside of row number three, Elio Castaneda. Certainly a fan favorite. All right, guys, here we go. Row number one. Are we ready? This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. We will have gone through all 33 cars. So let's break this down. On the outside of row number one, the one, the only, Will Power, who's always a very strong contender out at the IndyCar in general, but also out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. 230.697, and driving the number 12 Chevy black and white team. Of course, you know him in the Verizon car, driving with Team Penske in the outside of row number one. And the drama started last week, and I was right there on the edge of my seat. Our man, James Hinchcliffe, the mayor of Hinchtown, almost had it. Almost had the poll. What a disappointment for him it was. You do not want to count out James Hinchcliffe. He could very, very well be the Indianapolis 500 winner of the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500. Do not underestimate James Hinchcliffe, 230.839, driving a Honda in the light blue and white Andretti Autosport. Different team for him this year. As you know, last year and many years, we all know Hinchcliffe and associate him with GoDaddy Car, but that is no longer. And now, as we get down and we'll have completed all 33 cars, Ed Carpenter, local boy, Butler grad, just really comes from another legacy and family of racing, obviously, but unbelievable pull off in the pole position, 231.067. Believable. Look at the difference between two, if you want to do the math, look at the difference between 231.067 and 230.839. That is heart-wrenching. Of course, he's driving his own car, with Ed Carpenter Racing, and his other car. Remember, like we said last year, he was the only car he was, and he only had one car. This year, he's got two cars. Ed Carpenter's just really grown as a driver. He's grown as an owner, and he's just really came a long way. Remember, he used to race for Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing. Local boy, how exciting! 2 years in a row to win the pole position to be the P1 award winner, pole winner of the Indianapolis 500. Exciting race. We are ready. Are you ready for 33 cars? This has been our 33 car special. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to get into some interviews that Kevin and I did out at the Coke lot on Thursday nights. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Kent Sterling. That's right. I have not forgot about your Indiana Pacers. Down in Miami, trying to make a win for game number three. They need that for momentum. So Kent Sterling and I will get into that conversation in good detail and talk a lot about, the future of Frank Vogel and, the contributions he's made and what the Pacers have to do to beat the Heat. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. This has been our Indy car special, 33 cars. We went through all 33 cars. We are excited to get this race started. It is race weekend here in Indianapolis. We'll be right back with interviews from the Coke lot.
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente, my minions, myself and the redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, is hanging out with us. I tell you what, we decided to take some time to just hang out in the Coke lot, because you know what, our show, Kevin, our show was established, and you know this, you were there from the beginning, our show was established from what the fans are and who the fans are, and what a better place to find fans for the Indianapolis 500 than right here at the Coke lot.
Well, man, this is the place to be. If you have fans at Coke lot, it's a little slower today than some. You got the race going on. You've got
We are a little bit early. You know, we are a little bit early.
And we are. And you've got everything going on from carb day to race day to everything else going on this whole weekend. Everybody's everywhere. But the good thing is the Coke lot is where you want to be if you want to have a good time.
Places where it's happening. And I tell you what, as you hear this show tonight, even though this is a tape segment, when you hear this show, there's still plenty of time to get out to the Coke lot. I mean, the night before the 500 at the Coke lot, come on now.
Well, that's the best time there is. Is this adults or censored?
You know what? We can be moderately okay with it, so go ahead.
Okay, so...
We're at the Coke lot, so...
It's a exaggerated Hooters restaurant in the Coke lot.
Well, yeah, that's right. I wouldn't recommend you bringing your toddlers out to the Coke lot.
No, not at all. No toddlers. Not here.
Coke lot, 30th in Georgetown, having a good time out here. And we thought we would spend this segment, anyway, talking to the fans, actually, more than anything. I mean, hell, they listen to us talk all the time.
Well, that's the thing. That's what the Indy 500 or the month of May is about in Indianapolis, the fans. It's not about the race. Well, I guess it is. But to me, it's more about the fans. There's more people here with such a diverse culture that the fans is what it's about.
Maybe we should call this the drunken segment, but nonetheless, you know, like the drunken clam on Family Guy, but nonetheless, you know, we love coming out here. It's really part of one of the milestones of what our show has established, what it really is. And you know what? I'll let you do the introductions here. You're a redneck from Philly. I found your home base. I know you tried to keep it secret, but I did. Camp Redneck.
Well, the sad part is I've been coming here since 08 to Camp Redneck. And imagine that. It's called I'm the redneck from Philly, and it's called the Camp Redneck.
Imagine that, right.
I don't know. I have nothing to do with it, but this is where it's at. Camp Redneck, Lot 1C is where you need to be.
Do we really want to live that out? All right. Let's see. We no responsibility here. Kemp Redneck, obviously we're going to be hanging out with a lot of fans, but Kemp Redneck, we're going to kind of make our base here for the weekend while we're here at the Coke Lot hanging out here, at least doing this segment.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is where I'm at. This is every year since 2007. Redneck from Philly is the Kemp Redneck.
Now, I know you have a lot of friends here. Talk with us a little bit about some of the friends that we're going to be talking to here in a few minutes.
Well, we've got several that are new times. Like this year, we've got probably about 10 to 15 that are newcomers. And then we've got those of us that have been here. Well, Brian, which we'll be interviewing here in a minute, he's been coming here. Well, I moved here in 07. He's been coming here before me. We set up an acre lot. We rope off. We got three areas. One is an adult area, beer pong. Wait, I don't know if I can say that.
You say beer pong.
Okay, beer pong.
We're talking about beer on the show.
No.
So you say beer pong.
Okay, so we got one-third is beer pong, one-third is sleeping, one-third is cooking.
I want to know the one-third sleeping. Does that mean that one-third of the people are sleeping? From what I can tell so far, I know it's early in the evening here, but what I can tell so far, I can't imagine that one-third of the people hanging out here at Kemp Redneck are going to be sleeping.
No, I'm talking about area, because there's like one out of 500 sleeping. In the Coke Lot in general, there's one person sleeping, everybody else is awake.
Well, I'll tell you what, my name is Tom Mark with El Presidente, Kevin Chapman. We're hanging out here at the Coke Lot. We'll be right back with our segment from the Coke Lot.
There you go. Welcome back.
Welcome back right here to The Balance. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
All right, my minions, welcome back to our special 33 cars. It's the Indianapolis 500. It is race weekend. It does not get any better than this. Well, earlier this week, Kevin and I, Kevin Chapman, Redneck from Philly, and as you heard in the opening there, spent some time out at the Coke Lot. So we caught up with some interviews, and so we're going to go back to the Coke Lot from Thursday night right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Base Camp Redneck. Base Camp Redneck. It doesn't get any better than that.
That's right. Coming from the Redneck from Philadelphia, that's where it's all at.
Redneck Philly.
There you go. And well, you know, Philadelphia is the proper terminology.
I'll tell you what, though. One thing I've learned about hanging out here at Base Camp Redneck is that there's a brotherhood, right? And there's a brotherhood among rednecks. So what I can say to you is this. The city of brotherly love. But I know you've got a good guest here. We don't want to keep him waiting because he's got some very important meetings to get to.
Well, I'm the redneck Philly. However, the redneck of the Coca-Cola lot happens to be Brian. He's been here, God, I don't even know how long. I moved here in 07. I know he's been here longer than me. Camping out, we got probably an acre mowed and everything else. We've got three areas. You got the beer pong tables, the sleeping areas. My man Brian has got it all roped off. So here's Brian.
Thank you. We're just here trying to have a good time. Yeah, everybody's welcome to stop by and party up with us.
Kevin Redneck, and Kevin, I don't want to take away from your interview, so I want you to ask Brian all the questions you want to ask him. But Kevin Redneck, what established that? How did you come about that?
Well, actually, this year with more of the country folk coming out because of Jason Aldean being doing the show Saturday night here, it's basically established it that way. Usually it's myself and some other friends that maybe isn't as big in the country as I am, but with the other country folk coming out here this year, we decided to name our camp, and that's what we decided to name it.
Well, we're hanging out at the Kunkwat, and I'll tell you what, we're out at base camp, Camp Redneck. I'm sorry, Kevin, I have to interrupt you there. And I will tell you what, one thing for sure, Kevin, is that what we know about the Coke Lot is that it will say PG rated. Now, Kevin, I'm going to let you go ahead and take the interview with Brian and ask the questions, whatever you want to ask him, because go ahead. I'll let you. I'm actually sending the mic over to the Redneck from Philly. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, this is the first time ever, when we started the show years back, that I've ever had the mic in my control. So,
oh no,
we're gonna take a moment of silence. Okay, it's over. But anyhow, I was distracted. There was views to walk by, so let's get back to Brian here. He's ugly compared to them, but anyhow, so am I. So it's all good. But so, I know I came here in 07, moved to Indianapolis. I know you have been here probably in the Coke Lot longer than me. So when have you started your sectioning off area, or whatever we want to call it here in the Coke Lot?
Camp Redneck, when did it start?
Well, I mean, the Camp Redneck, this is the first year that's been the determination of our camp. We've been here many, many years. There's a group of us that come here. Sometimes some of us do not make it. Some of us, have family obligations or whatever that weekend. But there's always a group here, in what is deemed this camp. This is the first year it's deemed Camp Redneck due to the fact that, we have a country artist. Normally, Carb Day, which like this year, we have Sammy Hagar, which I am looking forward to, but normally it's the Rock that's played on Carb Day, and we never have that second concert. So I'm so looking forward to them bringing in a country artist at the magnitude of Jason Aldean for a second show on Saturday night, the night before the race. What a big party that will be.
Well, the good thing is, not only is Jason Aldean coming Saturday, but Brantley Gilbert has a race car that he is the, I guess you would call it, sponsor in the Indy 500. So it's been hush-hush what he's planning on doing. Nobody really knows. Other than he said it's going to be more than sponsoring a car. So what Brantley Gilbert is doing here, we don't know. But you're right. We got Jason Aldean Saturday. We've got the Friday before that Carb Day. We've got Sammy Hagar. For those of us that are, how do I word this? Want to be in our 20s, which are way over that, like myself. You got Sammy Hagar and Sublime, which I have no clue who they are, but I'm still going to be here for.
You have no idea who Sublime is? Come on now. I mean, I at 45 years old, a sports talk show host. Now, who's Sublime?
No, I can honestly say I don't. But I've been told that when I go to their concert, I will know their music. But I don't know it. So I'm just going with I don't know it.
Well, I tell you what, we're hanging out here at the Coke Lot. And we won't say, I asked Brian before this interview. I said, Brian, are you the mayor of the Coke Lot? He's like, no, there's another guy that's actually the mayor. I'm not worthy to be called the mayor. So, you know what? We have a lot of people that have called themselves the mayor of Coke Lot. That's it. They've been on our show. We love talking to them. Every year we hang out here at the Coke Lot. But I love hanging out here at Base Camp Redneck, as we've affectionately called it. All of our producers have got it up on the website there. If you just go to our website or our social media, you'll see a picture of Camp Redneck as it is. Now, Brian, I'll tell you what. enjoy hanging out here with you as well. And we got to put a leash on this guy here, Kevin Chapman here. Why is it you say you've been coming here since 08? You know what walks by. Media 101. Even our guest knows. Hey, I'm staying put. So, Brian, I tell you what. I know you just ate some pizza. We've got some adult beverages. You got some sleepy quarters. You got some beer pong. You got a tent. But at the end of the day, this is a good time to just let's just relax. It's Memorial Day. Let's relax. Talk with us a little bit about the Coke Lot and why the Indianapolis 500 Coke Lot, and what's so important about this particular spot, this particular race, and why have you been coming since 2007?
Well, the reason we come here is not just about the party here. I mean, the party is great, do not get me wrong, but you will see us hanging.
You mean there's a party around here? I really did not realize that.
There is a little one. You come back tomorrow night, you're experiencing a little bit better. But we will hang around a campfire and just sit and talk amongst our friends. That's it. Yeah, we do the beer pong. We also do flip cup.
You do. Now let's understand what flip cup is. I know we were talking about this. Kevin was talking to me about that. But for our listeners all over the United States that aren't here at the Indianapolis 500 Coke Lot, what is flip cup?
Flip cup is basically you line up, you know, long tables, you even up the teams on both sides, you fill your beer up to whatever level is deemed appropriate for the game.
Are we going to get you in that? I swear, is it called flip cop, right?
Yes.
Like COP, like the police.
No, CUP.
Oh, good.
Like,
I want to make sure we have a lot of we don't want to flip any cops around here.
Like
flip cup. I got you. I'm with you.
Like a red solo cup. And you basically.
And I really haven't started partying yet, but go ahead.
Well, by the end of the weekend, you will experience that game if you hang around this camp.
Hey, you know what? I'm looking forward to hanging out here at Pace Redneck. And we've only got a few more minutes. We've got to get to a break. So, Kevin, I want to let you talk to Brian. I want you to get... I really want to talk to Brian as to being a fan. And that's what our show is all about. It is for the fans. I mean, we talk a lot of serious stuff on the show. And we're as the show goes on, we're going to be talking to, you know, some race car drivers and stuff. We're going to be talking some serious stuff. But the reason these guys, this Coke Lot is for the fans, and that's what our show is about. So, Kevin, talk with us to Brian a little bit about what it means to be a fan, too.
You know, I moved here in 07, and I'm, as you know me, Tom, I am hence a redneck. I'm an orphan NASCAR fan of the open wheel. But when I moved here, you have to be an open wheel fan to live in Indianapolis.
That's absolutely a requirement. You can't even be accepted to buy a home.
No, you can't. If you live here, I mean, it's like on the application to move into apartments or a house. Do you like open wheel? If you say no, and they're like, well, your credit sucks and you can't move in. But I mean, you know,
the background check means that hey, are you a convicted sex offender? Have you ever stolen from anybody? Did you beat anybody up? Oh, and by the way, do you like open wheel racing?
Exactly, and I'm not used to that. But you know.
Go ahead.
Being a redneck, I'm cool with that. I'm learning open wheel. Do I know a lot of it? No. But I'm learning. But I met Brian, when I moved here in 07 from Virginia Beach. And that next year, actually, because I moved here in November of 07, the next year I started coming here to Coke Lot and hanging out and having a good time. And I know what draws me here. It's the fun. It's the atmosphere. I'm a sailor. So hence the alcohol and fun. I know Brian's not, so I don't know what, you know, but what? You've been here so well. Yeah, I understand alcohol. But other than that, what draws you to the Indy 500? Is it the fan atmosphere? Is it the racing? I mean, what really draws you to come here every year, year after year?
Well, to come watch the cars run, I mean, I love the sound of them, first off. I mean, I love racing in general, whether it's NASCAR, open wheel, dirt track, you know, sprint. I mean, just racing in general, I love. One thing I like about Openwheel over NASCAR is the fact that, you know, NASCAR, they can bump up, go in, bang out a fender, and they're back out there. You know, Openwheel, you know, they have to be so precise and so accurate on everything that if they bump, they're gone, they're out of the race. I mean, they are, you know, I'm not saying they're better than NASCAR drivers, but their precision has to be more precise to stay in the race and potentially win the race than, you know, the NASCAR or, you know, dirt track type racing.
But now, do you think it's more the body style of the car? Because NASCAR, I mean, the cars in NASCAR design, and Earnhardt Sr. created the, well, no, David Allison is the fist to cuff and the pick stops and all.
Oh, you want to talk to her.
Oh, we will talk to Olivia. Created the bump grind, the fist to cuff in NASCAR.
I hate to interrupt. You know what? The thing is, what we do want to do, Olivia, I'll tell you what, we're gonna take just a few moments, and we were going to go to a break. So if I can let some of my affiliate stations know, we're about to take a break here. But I do want to go ahead and just throw this in. If that's okay, we're going to throw this in. You want to do a break now, or you tell me, Kevin?
Oh, no. Olivia's here. There's no break.
All right. There's no break with Olivia.
No.
There's no break with Olivia. Olivia, I tell you what, I want to talk with you real quickly here. Now, we've been talking with Brian. Brian's been here for a good number of years, Camp Redneck, Base Redneck Camp is what we've been talking about here we've been talking about 33 cars all day long. So, Olivia, talk with us a little bit. The way I understand it now, I don't have all the talking points because my producer's not here with me. I don't have all the talking points, but Olivia, talk with me a little bit about your experience here at the Coke Lot and, well, the inaugural year, we'll call it, of Camp Redneck.
Oh, well, it's super fun. We have such a good time. We have so many games going on, so many fun drinking games. Everyone has such a good time, and we all have fun. We're all just one big happy family. We accept new family members every day.
How do you say drinking games?
She said drinking games.
I said drinking games.
Well, what are kind of some of the drinking games, Evelyn, that you have?
We have beer pong. We have something called Flippy Cup. We do cornhole, which you can drink with that game also. And
cornhole,
have
what?
A good time.
The way I understand it here at the Coke Lot, you can pretty much drink about with any game. Now, here we're at Camp Redneck, base camp here at Camp Redneck, and we hope that the tradition continues here. So let me ask you this. Are you a real redneck, or you just play one in the Indy May weekend?
I think I'm a real redneck.
She
is. Considered me one, so I guess that's what you call redneck.
Jason Aldean, what do you think?
I'm so excited. I cannot wait for Jason Aldean. He is my main man.
He is your main man.
No, she's lying. Really out, I don't want to lie. But because we are all there. She got pizza. What's going on?
All right.
What? She got pizza. What's going on?
She got pizza in her mouth. I tell you what, we're going to have to take a break. We'll be talking to more people here at the Coke Lot. We just can't have enough fun, Kevin. We have people lined up here at Camp Redneck, our base camp, to talk with us, to talk with the balance.
How do you, it's Camp Redneck. What do you expect?
It's a redneck. It's racing. It's Indianapolis.
Exactly.
We're here. We'll be right back right after this. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente, hanging out with the redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. We're hanging out at the Coke Lot. We'll be right back. We've got just a little bit more time to talk with you guys here at the Coke Lot.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hey, so Mike, what's El Presidente? Welcome back. I tell you what, we're having a great time myself, Redneck from Philly, hanging out here at the Coke Lot. I tell you what, Thursday night, we thought we just did a little bit of a jump on the day. We haven't had a lot of action on the track. We got some stuff to do tomorrow. We got some work to do tomorrow. Tomorrow night we might come out here and hang out again. But we started out here at Camp Redneck, and which is just down the road here. For those that aren't familiar with the Coke Lot, obviously we're a national show. This is a huge area. And we are everywhere you go, everywhere you turn, there's a little bit of a party, something else going on, a little bit different. So what we are here right now is we're here with Tony and Jake. Now, Tony and Jake have a little bit different of a game. You may have heard about beer pong, but basket pong.
Well, this is the thing. They thought they had this covered until they came across the Rednecks from Philly. Basketball pong, it's not their game no more. I'm just saying.
All right, we're talking with Tony. Now, Tony, this is your game. Talk with us a little bit about, we're going to call it, it's called basket pong.
Right. So basket pong is eight cups, play a team of two. And all you do is you shoot for the cup. You make the cup, the other team drinks. You play until your beer's gone or the cups are gone.
So, thing is, what I heard is he's not really the scared. It's the better half.
Are you
I'm
coming up with the challenge? Here's
I'm
what I'm saying. So
it's
got,
not him, it's her.
So we got two people that are challenging, right? So you challenge two people at a time as a one-on-one.
Well, I'll let my girlfriend carry me because I don't really trust him over here on the other side of me. So
also joining you us here is Jade. Jade, welcome to the Balance. I'll tell you what. First of all, are you having a good time out here at the Coke Lot?
Yes, I am.
All right, talk with us a little bit about the challenge and what role you play in basketball.
I'm going to carry both of them.
Thank God.
They don't have a chance.
You know, we're a radio audience, so people don't know what we're seeing here. But, what I mean, you're like 5 foot tall with
no
extension cord, right?
Right.
And then it's like 4 foot two.
So, talk with us about the secret to basketball.
Gotta know how to throw right.
How do you throw right?
Underhand and just watch it up.
So the more you drink, the more you hang out here, the better you get.
Yes.
So in other words, practice does ain't perfect. So obviously, you know what? This is not my design. We're going to be talking with Kent Sterling for 1070 The Fan here in just a few moments about the Indiana Pacers and about the Game 3 of the Heat. So you know what? You said I didn't want to hear what you had to say about the Pacers. So what do you have to say about the Pacers?
I go to school in Bloomington, so I'm a big Tom Crean fan. So that leads back to Marquette, which leads to Dwayne Wade, who's my favorite player.
360, man!
There you go.
I'll tell you what, you haven't a career yet. So let me ask you this. Dwayne Wade, not LeBron James, not Greg Oden, all of those people that maybe you would logically say, but you say Dwayne Wade.
Marquette, I watched him when he was in school the whole time, probably my favorite player of all time. Great all-around player, defense, offense.
You know, I saw the picture of Dwayne Wade wearing a bra.
Yes. All right. Did you see what he wore last interview? have you seen his future wife?
You know what? I'm just saying. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you.
I mean, I was going to argue, but he pulled his trump card.
No argument.
There it is.
So there's been
trump cards done.
Trump cards out. We've been talking with Tony and Jade out here at the Kofod segment, guys. We'll be right back right here on The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis. This is The Balance Radio Network.
Thank you.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. Man, we are having fun. It is the weekend. It is race weekend. It is the day before the race, the day before the Indianapolis 500. What a great time it was. Learning about some basket pong out there. You know, I put a picture up on our social media. That should be up here soon about basket pong. Pretty cool, actually. Pretty cool little game. Beer pong, only with a little bit of a different twist. So a good segue into our next conversation, and we're going to kind of leave the track a little bit. We're going to be talking about the other big game going on with the here surrounding Indianapolis, and that's the Indiana Pacers and the Miami Heat in game number 3. So I had a chance earlier this week. I caught up with Kent Sterling of 1070 The Fan and KentSterling.com and talked with him in great detail. And certainly 1070 The Fan is the official flagship station for the Pacers Radio Network. And so I had an opportunity to talk with Kent Sterling about the Pacers in Game 3. Here's what he had to say about the Pacers, the Heat, in Game 3. Well, maybe we'll have him, and we're working on getting away. Apparently there's a little bit of technical difficulties in playing that interview, so we'll get to that here in just a few moments. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back.
I want to go fast. I'm gonna make that pass. I said I want to go fast. So baby, step on the gas. Wow. When I was a young boy, my daddy had a race car. Said, son, don't ever give up. One day you're gonna be a star. I want to go fast.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Why would these rivals risk everything? Each is driven to be the one. IndyCar, the one to win the heart of racing.
IndyCar welcomes Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Mark with El Presidente. It is the weekend before, it is the Saturday before the 98th running of the Indianapolis 500. We've been talking about 33 cars all day long. You know, we were having a little bit of a technical issue with our Kent Sterling. You know, it always happens, right? That's radio for you. And, you know, we will get to that interview here in just a moment. Hopefully, we'll still be able to get that on here in just a few moments for you. I do apologize about the technical difficulties. I know my team is the best team in the world, and they're working right now to get this working. So, we're going to talk about the Pacers. If you want to talk about the Pacers, give us a call. We're going to go ahead and talk about them and certainly the Pacers. Are we ready? All right, I think we're ready. We're going to go ahead and try this again with the Kent Sterling interview from 1070 The Fan. The day before the 500, but there's another big game going on here in the Indianapolis, or at least for one of the Indianapolis teams. And joining us now is a good friend of the show, Mr. Kent Sterling of 1070 The Fan. Going to talk about those Indiana Pacers. Kent, my goodness, we started off good, momentum good, and then all of a sudden on Tuesday night, it just seemed like they struggled, and now we have an issue with Paul George. So break us down and bring us up to speed on our Indiana Pacers.
I think the Pacers are just fine. Both games, they played reasonably well. David West and Paul George had a tough time Tuesday night. Lance Stephenson did not. He played exceptionally well. Roy Hibbert played another good game. I think the Pacers are in pretty good shape. I mean, I think it would be silly to expect that the Pacers would sweep the Miami Heat after they've won the last two NBA championships. I think the Pacers are just fine.
So let's talk about the Miami Heat, and we beat them on Monday. They beat us on Tuesday. Everybody knew going in. Really, I won't say everybody knew, but everybody, I think this kind of, it is as expected. If you would have read your program at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year in the playoffs and in the Eastern Conference playoffs, no matter what kind of roads would have turned, you would have known that the Indiana Pacers and the Miami Heat was going to play in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference National Championships. Now, that's easily said now. But there was a time a few months ago where we didn't know if the Pacers were going to make the playoffs, let alone the Eastern Conference Championship Series. So can you tell us why did we see two different Pacers teams this year?
Well, that's a great question. People have speculated so much, but I think that one of the things that became a real change agent for them once they got to 46-13 was they just got kind of bored I think they got tired. Those guys, I'm telling you, in training camp, those guys worked harder in those training camp sessions than I see some NBA teams playing in games. They worked incredibly hard. They were focused on kind of vengeance toward the Heat. They played hard. They practiced hard. And I think they got through that 59th game and thought, you know what, let's just get to the Heat. This really isn't any fun anymore. 82 games is way too long to have to play to get to the main course of this giant banquet of basketball that we're serving up. And so now they've got it, you know, and a lot of people in Indianapolis were having trouble with the Pacers and the Hawks, thought that they were going to lose that series, thought they were going to lose the series to the Wizards, but here they are, and they're right where everybody thought they were. They've got home court advantage, so if this thing gets to a game seven, it's right back here in Indy.
Well, Frank Vogel says that Paul George is good to go. From a concussion, although I don't know how he could say that. So my question is, one, is Paul, do you think Paul George is out for the remainder of this series or at least for the next game? Is he good to go? And if he is good to go, is he good to go?
Well, he's got to get through the protocol, and that's mandated by the NBA, just as with the NFL and Major League Baseball, and I assume the NHL, but I don't know that for sure. Players who suffer a concussion have to go through a certain series of steps, and they have to show progression and show symptom-free activity and a lack of consequence physically from that activity. And if they do that for a specific period of time, then they're good to go. And I think he's going to be fine. I mean, he got hit in the knee by Dwayne Wade, or he got hit in the head by Dwayne Wade's knee. I don't think it's a real big deal. I think he's playing today. It's today, right?
Today.
Tonight.
It is kind of weird because, you know, I was like on Wednesday night, I thought, well, they're going to be playing again tomorrow or Thursday, but, you know, they decided to take off, or I don't know what that was because of the distance between, maybe you know, was it because of the distance between here and Miami or –
No, it's because the NBA are the smartest guys in the room, and they know what's best, and so they gave them 4 days off. I have no idea. You know, it's just one of the vagaries of the deal, and the NBA, the less we question the NBA and their scheduling methodology, I think the happier we're all going to be.
Is LeBron James as good as he thinks he is, as good as the media paints him out to be? Or is he just have a very good ability outside of his natural basketball talent? And don't get me wrong, he's certainly one of the greatest to play the game. I don't know that we'd have the conversation that he's better than Michael Jordan, although there are those that have that, including him. But at the same time, LeBron James has a unique knack of getting in an opponent's head, even if he's not talking to them directly.
Well, you know, Tuesday night, once I'm spacing the guy's name from Cleveland State, the kid, Norris Cole. Once he hit the triple with 10:45 left, only Dwayne Wade and LeBron James scored from that point. The Pacers knew that LeBron James with 12, he had 12 points with just over 7 minutes left in that game. And I turned to my wife and I said, Julie, I'm telling you, he's going to have over 20, and I'll bet he has 25. He finished with 22. When he decides that he's going to score the basketball, he's not only the best player in the world right now, he's the smartest player in the world right now. He goes from kind of a passive stance to being very, very active and very, very smart, and he can turn that on, you know, as quick as you can snap your fingers, and he makes it very, very difficult for teams who wait for him to kind of wake up for them to defend him once he does.
Speaking about teams that have to wake up, the Indiana Pacers, you know, as you said, they may have just got bored, they may have gotten lazy, and just got lackadaisical, accepted their losses, what have you. Okay, all of that now has to change. The Pacers have to realize that they are playing a very, very good Miami Heat team. You know, and again, we don't want to use the term dynasty just yet, but if they win another championship, we could put them right up there with the Lakers. We could put them up there with other teams who have won multiple championships. And again, we want to say that LeBron James is going to get all the credit, but, you know, you've got Dwayne Wade and a lot of other talented people on the Miami Heat. Now, that said, the Indiana Pacers probably one of the most athletic teams in the NBA right now. So they have to wake up. What do they have to do to beat the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Championship Series?
I think they just need to stay the course. The number of shots that both David West and Paul George had just rim out. You know, they were halfway down in the bucket and then popped back out. If those shots go in, the Pacers win that game. Paul George said it last night after the game. If shots they normally hit go in, they win 180. I think Paul George believed that. I think the rest of the Pacers believe it. Frank Vogel believes it. I think this is the Pacers series. But what they're going to have to do, I think this goes seven. And once you get to that game seven in Indianapolis a week from Sunday, you know that they're coming, that the Heat are going to come, and they're going to defend their turf. And the last 5 minutes of that game, you've got to show some intense grit and prove that you're worthy. And I think that that's going to be a difficult thing, because I don't think that necessarily the Pacers really believe that right now, that when it gets to be nut-cutting time, that they're going to be able to stand up and repel the LeBron, Dwayne Wade horde and take that series when it comes crunch time.
Well, let's hope that they could do that. I think they have the talent to do that. But, again, going back to LeBron James and giving him way more credit than I think that he deserves. You know, I had a very in-depth social media conversation with someone this week, and all I simply tweeted was LeBron James. And this is a Pacer fan, by the way. LeBron James is highly overrated. And this went on for like an hour. You know, how can you say that? Do you know how good he is? You know this? You know that? So if we've got Pacer fans, if he's in the head of the fans, it's, you know, all I heard around the sports bars and all around town and social media, as soon as they found out that the Pacers were playing the Heat, oh, that's it. That's it. We're all well, guys. Good season. Already the Heat is in our head. How as one as fan base, how does the Pacers say, hey, guys, we're still in this and we can win this. Believe in us. You've been here this far. Here's a free gold T-shirt for you. How do the Pacers prove to their fans that they belong where they're at?
Well, they're going to have to beat the Heat. You know, the last 3 years, the Heat have beaten the Pacers in the playoffs. The last 2 years they've beaten them. The first time in six, last year in seven. And, you know, you've got to vanquish a foe in order to develop the confidence that you can beat them. And when you don't, you've got to find ways to get better. And, you know, I go back to the Chicago Bulls and the Detroit Pistons in the late 80s and early 90s. That was the team that the Bulls and Michael Jordan had to get past in order to be taken seriously in the city of Chicago. And so when the Bad Boys beat up on the Bulls two seasons in a row in the playoffs, Michael Jordan went to work, and not only did he go to work, but he got his teammates to go to work. He built Scottie Pippen into an all-star and a top 50 player. And that's the kind of thing that you need to do to be able to beat that foe that preys upon you. And fans around here are a little bit dire, I think. You know, when the Pacers win, everything's rosy, and when the Pacers lose, it's terrible. And I think we've got to find a little equilibrium. We're almost as schizophrenic as the Pacers are themselves. We need to just relax and understand that that's the character of this team. They're going to play the way they play. Frank Vogel's going to coach the way he coaches. They're going to win some. They're going to lose some. And a week from Sunday, that's going to be the big game, and it's going to be right here this time.
You know, I want to ask you a question, and again, if I'm giving you credit for something you didn't say, I'm sorry, but if I'm giving you credit for something you did say, great. I think I heard you on your show or read on one of your blogs that people who say that Frank Vogel is playing for his job is incorrect, that Frank Vogel is the best thing for the Pacers right now, and Larry Bird sees that, and Frank Vogel's job is secure. Is that what you said?
I did say that.
Okay, I thought
absolutely.
So. Go ahead.
I absolutely think that he's a very effective leader. What Frank Vogel does that a lot of coaches don't do in kind of those spotlight jobs is he puts the focus entirely on the players. His entire job, as he sees it, is to put the players in a situation and in a circumstance where they can best succeed or they're most likely to succeed. Those are good leaders. those guys, and he doesn't flip, you know, he doesn't become bad Frank. He's not good Frank, bad Frank, angry Frank, happy Frank. He is just Frank. In practice, in games, everywhere he goes, he's consistent. He's got the players' backs. He takes the heat, and not the Miami Heat, but the heat from the media, the heat from the fans, and he's happy to do it to make the players play as well as they can. And that's exactly what an effective leader does. If at any point that story was correct, I'm really disappointed in Larry Bird, Kevin Pritchard, Donnie Walsh, anybody who would think about firing Frank Vogel as a result of the way that team played for a 3-month expanse of time, even if they had lost to the Atlanta Hawks, I think that would have been an absolute mistake and a terrible, terrible miscarriage of justice and a misuse of power by the Pacers. And I don't believe the story. Mark Stein wrote it for ESPN, and he cited anonymous sources, and then Mark Schwartz came right on the heels of that story being published on ESPN.com, threw his microphone in a bunch of the guys' faces and asked about reports that Frank Vogel is coaching for his job. Those reports were never cited. Nobody ever said who the source was, but it didn't keep Mark Schwartz from asking Vogel and everybody else about it. I thought it was shoddy journalism.
Well, and I agree with you. And here's the thing. Frank Vogel, we look back at Tony Dungy, and we look at, you know, just current coaches and coaches that the Pacers, the Colts have had, and various other professional teams that Indianapolis have had. Two completely different sports, two completely different teams. But for some reason, the coaches that mesh well in Indianapolis and do well in Indianapolis always seem to get the shaft from the national media. And for some reason, it works out for us because maybe the type of people we are, maybe we're located in the country. But we do well as a fan base. We do well. I don't want to say timid because Tony Dungy, Frank Vogel is far from timid. But we do well with coaches who aren't as boisterous as other coaches, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And there are a lot of places where what the fans really want out of a coach is sort of a surrogate fan on the bench. A guy like – and Bob Knight did this a little bit, where the fans would see an IU player do something, and they would know it was wrong, and they would see Bob Knight get upset, and they felt validated by that. When they don't see that from a coach, whether it's Tony Dungy or Chuck Pagano or Frank Vogel, Larry Brown was a little bit more a fan surrogate guy. He did get angry with guys. The fans feel a kinship with those coaches for whatever reason, but it doesn't make them effective leaders. It doesn't make them good coaches. Frank Vogel and Chuck Pagano, really, really effective leaders.
Well, the Pacers saw a hometown boy come back to Indianapolis with the Miami Heat. I'm speaking of Greg Oden, obviously went to Lawrence Central, but went to Ohio State. Has kind of struggled in the NBA. Is the Miami Heat a good fit for him, and is he going to really be a contributing factor in this series?
I think he's completely done, and I don't believe that he's going to play at all in this series. I was at the game against the Heat where they brought Oden in to defend against Hibbert and kind of see how that was going to go, and it was a train wreck. Roy Hibbert dominated him, and it was really sad. As someone who watched Greg Oden play a lot of basketball at Lawrence North High School and for the Spieth Indy Heat, it was just a sad thing to watch a kid who had worked so hard to perfect his craft as a center and as a guy who had a lot of potential in the NBA go out there and struggle that way. I think that Greg Oden, I think it's likely that his basketball days are done.
Why is that? I mean, why do you think that he had such a big struggle? Because he was such a dominant player in high school, of course, a dominant player at Ohio State. And, you know, really, I mean, I think a lot of people, national media included, thought Greg Oden was the next superstar in the NBA, but he got to the NBA, and I don't know what happened. Do you?
Well, microfracture surgery on knees, that's tough to come back from. And, the human body isn't built to be 7 feet tall or 7'1". And at some point, people that big, their joints just break down. And that's what happened to Greg, and it happened at a very unfortunate time for him. And, you know, I think that his career is likely over, having played 80-some games. Really a shame.
Would you say that LeBron James-Dwayne Wade combo is at like Paul George and David West?
I would say it's much better. You know, I think any time those two guys are on the floor at the same time, they have the advantage of having the two best players on the floor. Dwayne Wade, when he's healthy, is a game wrecker, and LeBron James is the best player in the league and probably the smartest player in the league. You know, he doesn't always live up to the expectations. Michael Jordan lived up to expectations a lot more, I think, than LeBron James does. LeBron James is capable of being the best player on the floor for all 48 minutes of a game, and he's not sometimes. And that makes us a little bit dubious of his skill level and his desire. But when he wants to play, he is absolutely the best player in the world, and second probably to Michael Jordan is the all-time greatest.
Well, and everybody keeps putting LeBron James in there with Michael Jordan. Again, I guess the story is still being told about LeBron James because he's still playing. And you know, every year we see the next great player. So, you know, maybe he is. But at this point, I'm not ready to say that he's a better player than Michael Jordan ever was. But, you know, at the same point, I look at a lot of other players, talking about the Pacers. And, you know, a lot of people might disagree in a lot of other aspects. But there's some aspects that I think Reggie Miller was better than Michael Jordan. So I think in order to be the greatest player of all time, you kind of have to seal the deal across the board. Wouldn't you say that?
Well, I think that Michael Jordan was a guy. He was everything. He turned himself into a really good long distance shooter. Not better at it than Reggie Miller by any stretch of the imagination. He was a lockdown defender against four different spots. He was a total offensive force. And not only was he all that stuff on the court, he was an incredible leader off the court. Scottie Pippen, we wouldn't know who the hell that guy was. We would have no idea who Scottie Pippen was as a basketball player if not for Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan built Scottie Pippen and drove him to be who he became. And I think that that's the case with a lot of guys who played with him. I think Steve Kerr benefited greatly from Michael Jordan's influence on him for I think they played together for 4 years. I think Dennis Rodman wound up being a really, really good basketball player for the Bulls late in his career because of Michael Jordan. I just think that Jordan was as good a leader as there's ever been. I think he's as good a scorer as there's ever been. He was a really good rebounder, and he was a crazy good defender. I think that he was just, for his size, the absolute best basketball player I've ever seen, and he never, ever in a big moment failed to live up to expectations, and those expectations were huge.
Well, the Indiana Pacers, the Miami Heat in Miami tonight, game three, both teams tied up at two. Tied up at one. And if we want to believe stats, and which is what we have to go on, if we want to believe the history of the game,
you know, I apologize. We are going to have to. There's about 5 minutes left of that interview. You can catch it on our archives. Unfortunately, we have ran out of time. We ran into some technical difficulties. It always happens that way, right? Well, it is the day before, or the night before, or the afternoon before, whatever it is. But tomorrow is the Indianapolis 500. This has been our annual special. We do this every year. It's called 33 Cars, and we break down all 33 cars, and we've done that. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Hey, we'll see you out at the track at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Remember, go out there, have a good time. Just don't drink and drive because it isn't cool. We'll see you Thursday night for the Hot Corner right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.